Good morning. This is Kim Harvey with Heartbeat of Morrow County. It's nice to be with you this morning in our creative way of still being able to meet together and to talk about God and about Heartbeat and stay safe at the same time. I wanted to let you know that Heartbeat has stayed open throughout all of our COVID dangers. We have tried to be very safe, allowing just a few people in at a time, and having some nice handmade masks there that they can wear while they are in our boutique. We did have to close for 2 weeks. So there were 2 weeks we were out of service, but we just felt that we needed to be there for them if they needed us. So the only thing that we cannot do right now is we've not been letting people sit down and watch the parenting videos, because that takes about half an hour of sitting in a enclosed place. And then we talk with them about the questions and answers that went along with the video. So we've put those on pause for now, but we'll see what happens is if things begin to open up, we may be allowed to let people do that. If not, then we may need to do something creative like this where we can make them accessible to people at home. So right now, our main focus has been to be the emotional support that the young people that come to us are needing. There have been a lot of agencies around that have been coming through for the people of Morrow County and the surrounding areas with diapers and help with some of their expenses with all of the things that have been shut down and people who have lost jobs and been put out of work. And so in that way, there are a lot of different places that they can get some of the physical things that they need. But we know that won't last forever. Our doors will still be there, will still be open, and we will still have those diapers and clothes and things when they come to us. And we still are getting clients coming in, and we know that the extra added piece that they need from us is that emotional and spiritual support that they can't get from a government agency. And so we're really focusing right now on trying to pray with our clients and trying to see if there is anything going on in their life that we can put on our prayer list. And that has been really rewarding. It lets us know a little bit about them, their hopes and their dreams, what they're worried about. No one has ever said, no, please don't pray for me. Everyone that we have asked always has something that they want us to put on the list. Our list gets emailed out to all of our volunteers. And so I'll just read, I've taken the first names off, but I'll just read the list that we have right now. Someone asked for help with their finances, that they hope that God would bless that. Someone else asked for prayer for her grandpa because he had recently had a heart attack and he was very important to her. Someone else asked for a smooth transition to daycare for her kids, because she was starting to go back to nursing school. Someone else asked for prayer that she can have an improved relationship with her teenage stepson. Things have been a little stressful there. And we have another client that is asking for prayer for her one-month-old little girl, that her immune system would be strong and that she can fight off infections. We also have another client that we are praying for that recently had a blood clot, and that was very scary. She was rushed down to Columbus, and luckily she is still with us and is recovering at home with her kids. So one of the things I love about my volunteer job at Heartbeat is because I talk a lot, they send me out to chat in the churches. And that's what I always wanted to do, is get to know a lot about different churches. Norma Neumeister, I don't know if any of you know her. She was my Sunday school teacher pretty much my entire life. She liked our class, and she moved right along with us. When we got promoted, she came up too. And when we would get done with the unit, she would say, okay, well, what do you guys want to learn about next? And I would say, let's learn about different religions. And she would say, no. And she would go on to someone else's suggestion. And I didn't really mean that I wanted to know, you know, about, you know, outside of America, other cultures. I just wanted to know what are the similarities and what are the differences between all of these churches that we pass, you know, on corners, you know, all over our county. And I'm glad that I get to go and I get to visit. And I found that church is a lot like pizza. It is the same, but it is different. Everyone has their favorite pizza. Everyone has their favorite toppings. But it's still pizza. All of the churches that I have been to, they are Bible-based and God-loving churches. And it's just a little bit interesting for me to get to see everybody's take on it and how things are a little different in some and more formal in some and more laid back in others. And I think it's a great time for us to try to get people to come to church because a lot of them are afraid, as our clients are. They're afraid they're going to meet with judgment. I think I have shared with you before about one of our clients that is covered in tattoos, and I invited him to church, he and his girlfriend and their beautiful little girl, and he said, well, you can take them, but I can't go, and it was because of the tattoos, and he really felt that he would meet with judgment, and I was not successful in getting him to come to church, and they have moved away, and I still pray for them. But a lot of people that are not coming to church are afraid that they're not good enough to come to church. There's a stigma that they've learned from TV or from someone that was hypocritical that they don't truly understand what a caring and loving family that church is. And so many of these people that come to us at Heartbeat, their families have broken down or have been dysfunctional or have fallen apart. And they really need that loving family structure that a church can provide to lean on each other and to learn about God and to try to make our lives better. When everybody is doing recordings and videos, this is a great time for people to try out a church because they can do it from the comfort of their own home. So if there's someone you've been wanting to invite, this would be a great opportunity to say, well, why don't you listen in and see how you like it? And maybe to give you some opportunity for discussion, because that's what we try to do with our Heartbeat clients, is to build those relationships and start those discussions when we can. But back to me getting to go into many different churches. I was in a church one time during the prayer while we had our heads bowed. They were praying to God, and they said, thank you for hearing our prayer, for we know that when we do not pray correctly, you do not hear our prayer. And my head whipped up, and I hope that nobody looked at me, and I thought, wait a second, what? God always hears my prayer. And so that made me dig a little deeper into prayer, because, I'm thinking, I understand that we have the Lord's Prayer, that we have directions for a template to follow, but I also understand that God put the spots on ladybugs, and He made volcanoes, and He made the gorgeous frost that is on the plants right now in the morning. And I do think He is capable of hearing me, even if I have my prayer all messed up, because I truly believe that He knows me, and I don't want people to be intimidated about talking to God. So when we pray for our clients, we encourage them to do the same and let them know that it does not have to be formal, that He hears them. Jeremiah 29:12 says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. And I lean on that and I rest on that He hears us when we pray. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And that do not be anxious about anything is something that all of us could use right now, with politics, with COVID, with the world. Who knows what is going on? Everything we write down in pencil, because we don't know what's going to be canceled and what's going to happen next. And we don't know who among us is going to get sick and who's going to have a mild case and who is going to be gone. And so the anxiety level is high right now. There are people experiencing levels of stress that they've never seen before in their lives. And going to God in prayer can relieve those stressors when we can let go and remember that He's in charge. And no matter what happens, it's whatever He wants to happen. Whoever ends up in office is whoever He wants in office. And whether we're thrilled or whether we're upset about that, there is a reason why. And we just have to trust him in that. And the more we pray, the more we get to know him, and the more we see his little answered prayers popping up, that brings me some comfort. And I hope it does for our clients and for you as well. In Mark 11, 2-4, it says, "Therefore I tell you, what you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." And that's a tricky one, because we want to have faith, we want to pray for something, and we want to believe that it's going to happen. But sometimes we know that we're praying for the impossible, and sometimes we know that things that we have prayed for have not worked out the way that we thought. And that doesn't mean that he did not hear our prayer or that he didn't answer our prayer. It means we did not get the answer we were looking for, because we can't see the big picture. We're not omniscient. We don't know his plan. I was visiting a church and heard a pastor talking about a family who had a father in the family that was terminally ill, and he was petrified. He didn't want to die. He was scared to die. He was fighting with everything that he had. And the family prayed, and they prayed, and they were praying for a miracle. And after the man passed away, this pastor was talking with the family, and as he was comforting, they said, we got our miracle. And he was a little bit puzzled by that, because, you know, their father was gone. But they said, we wanted to keep him here, of course, but he was in pain and it was his time, and that was God's plan. But before he left, he came to terms with that, and he was no longer afraid to cross over and to go to heaven as the end came near. And that was our miracle. And sometimes it's hard for us to swallow when our prayers get answered in ways that we were not planning. And it's hard for us sometimes to, in our busy ways, not slow down and look for those little answered prayers that sometimes came later than expected, or sometimes came in a different way than we expected. And God closes doors all the time. And it's easy for us to get angry and to get hurt, or to think that we're not heard when doors are getting closed. When he closes a door, he does open a window. And we have to remember that. We have to keep an open heart and an open mind, and we have to keep an open line of communication with him so that we find those windows. In Matthew 6:6, this was always a part that confused me, because this is the verse that says, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. And I used to read that and think, well, why would you not want to pray in public? Why would you not? We're supposed to be sharing, letting everyone know about God. But as I've grown and matured and grown in my own prayer life, I think this is about intimacy. There are prayers that we say in public together, and prayers that we say out loud. But these are the prayers that are only between us and God. The prayers about things that we don't want anyone else to know. The sins that we're holding so secret that other people may not be aware of. Or fears that we don't want other people to know about. But God knows us. There's that verse that says he knit us together in our mother's womb, and he saw us being made in the secret place. He's known us since then. There's nothing about us that he doesn't already know. So we're never hiding anything from him by keeping it inside and not saying it out loud. So it's important to have that personal relationship with God. We know that in church, sometimes during the prayer time, someone will say that they have an unspoken prayer request. And those are those things that the rest of us don't need to know the details. God already knows the details. There have been some times in my life when my prayers didn't have words, and I know that He still hears those prayers when our children fall down and they need us and they're crying and they're bleeding and they say help. We don't stop and shake our finger at them and say, you know, did you say please? You didn't ask me the right way, so I'm not gonna. No, we help them right away. And so even though God has a plan for how we should pray with the Lord's Prayer, in emergencies and in our pain and in our deep need, He can hear everything that we're praying, even if we can't make it into words. It says that in Romans 8:26, when we do not know what to pray for, the Spirit Himself intervenes for us through our words and our groans. And I know that all of us have had times like that where we open our mouth and we look up and all that comes out is noise. And it comes from the pit of our stomach and we don't have the words. We can't shape the words. What we've just been told or what we're going through is horrible beyond words. And the good thing is we don't need words. He loves us enough that all we have to do is lean on Him and ask for help and let Him know that we're reaching out. When in our times that we do have time to focus on our prayer and make sure that we're dotting all of our I's and crossing all of our T's and that we're making the most of our prayer time with God, He does have an outline for us to follow. And He told us twice, and has to do with my students, when things are important, I tell them more than once. And He tells us this twice. He tells us in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, and He tells us again in Luke about the Lord's Prayer. So as you go through your week, I hope that you can focus on these pieces that He has outlined. As it starts out, Our Father in heaven, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That is when we are addressing Him, we're talking to, and we're worshiping Him. I pray in my car on the way to school. Luckily, I pray with my eyes open, so I have not crashed. But as I'm driving in, the sun is coming up, and I feel like I am driving through a calendar. It is gorgeous. There's cows, and there's steam over the ponds, and that's how I start my prayer, just glorifying God. What a beautiful, amazing world He has given to us. And I just praise Him for being the Lord of all of it. The next part says, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's where we have to acknowledge His authority, because the things that we're praying for aren't necessarily the things that He is going to give us. He will answer our prayer, but we have to acknowledge it will be in His time and in His way, and it may not be at all what we have planned. Give us this day our daily bread. And that's where we're asking Him to take care of us. His eye is on the sparrow. As it's getting colder, I look outside and I feed my animals and I tuck them all into the barn. And I think about the wild animals outside as I'm, you know, cutting down some of my weeds. And I want to leave the seeds out there. I'm like, what are they going to eat? How are they going to survive? But they do. His eye is on the sparrow and He makes sure that they have food and protection. And He will do the same for us. Forgive us our debtors as we forgive us our debts as we forgive those. Now I'm really messing it up. Well, you know the part about the debts and the trespasses, but that's about wanting us to confess our sins because we've messed up. All of us have. None of us are perfect. And then also to forgive, to have mercy. We cannot pray and ask God forgiveness and then spout hate out of our mouth about others. We cannot do that. And it's right here in his outline. He will forgive us, but He's asking us also to be forgiving. And that is hard. And sometimes that's hard for our clients when we get to talk with them about their lives. Some of them have been through some real trauma. Some of them have been really hurt. Some of them have been pushed away. And some of them are all alone. And it's hard to forgive those people so that we can heal. But we can't carry around hate. We can't name call. We can't carry around anger. It's not helping any of us. If we want God to forgive us and to be merciful, we have to do the same. The next part says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that's where we're requesting his protection. Lead us not into temptation, because if we get led into temptation, there's a good chance we're going to mess up again. We are weak. We are human. And when we get ourselves into those situations where those temptations are around us, we're in trouble. And not only do we pray for God to make us strong, but to not even get into those situations at all. And that's some of the cycle that we're trying to break with our clients. Many of them need to remove themselves from their friends and from their situations that they're in so that they can make a better life for themselves and their children. And they want to. That's why they're there. Now that they are mom, they're not just in charge of themselves, and they want better for their children. And sometimes totally removing ourselves from the people that are those temptations is what we have to do. And that's hard to do without God. Sometimes we have to leave some people out of our lives and start fresh. Sometimes we have to change careers. Sometimes we have to just break old habits. And we need God's help to do that, because we are weak. And it ends with, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. He will take care of us if we lean on him and if we trust. And in these stressful times for the clients, stressful times for me, stressful times for you, that's all we can do is pray and strengthen that relationship with him, because whatever happens, he's got it figured out. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 is that verse that says, rejoice always and pray without ceasing. And I like to think about that, because it's really hard to sin and pray at the same time, isn't it? So if we pray without ceasing, that will keep us from sinning. I know a lot of people are upset because there's not prayer in school anymore. I can assure you that we pray all the time. Not openly with the kids, but about the kids and for each other, and on a daily basis. And as we all walk through these troubled times, or sit at home and watch these troubled times happening around us through our windows and our TV, I pray that this week you can pray without ceasing, and to give it to God, and to lighten your heart, and to ease your cares and ease your stress. That's my prayer for our clients as well, because they're in some hard times, and we want to be there to help them. I'm on this Tuesday night from 6 to 8. So if you want to don a mask and come out and see us and get a tour of our facility, I'd love to show you around. We've been a little slow, so there probably won't be too many clients there. It's a little messy right now because we had some flooding in the basement, but even that was a God thing, because the drain in the basement was not draining correctly when there were rains that put rain down onto the flat roof and the gutters. It was not going out because of some tree roots, and we've gotten that taken care of now. But when that happened to be a Tuesday. And I stopped in to pick up some baby bottles for a church at about 4 o'clock, because I thought, oh, well, nobody will be there. I don't have to wear a mask. I won't breathe on anybody. I'll just stop in, get in, get out. And when I pulled in, there were still cars there from the shift that had been there earlier in the day. And I thought, what are they still doing here? And they were moving things out of the basement and shop vacuuming and carrying things up as fast as they could, because as it rained outside, it was bubbling up into the basement almost faster than it could be sucked up and put over into the sump pump. Sump pump was still working. And we were still cleaning up and carrying things when the 6 o'clock crew showed up. So we ended up having a lot of hands right there. And I thought, what a God thing. Because if that would have happened, say, Thursday evening, it would not have been noticed until 1 o'clock on a Tuesday. And we would have lost a lot of stuff in the basement. None of the water got to the diaper room. All we lost was some padding on the floor that we would stand on when we sort things. But none of the clothes were ruined. We had a lot of stuff in totes, so that protected that. So it's a little bit jumbled as we reorganize, but God blessed us in that. And some drywall down there that got wet had to go, and that forced us to reconfigure things down there, and it's actually working much better. So God always has a plan, even when it's a messy flood. So I just want to thank you for letting me chat with you this morning, and for all that you have done for Heartbeat. The girls, I say girls, but sometimes we get dads in there too, and we get grandmas in there too. But everyone is always so, so thankful, and we always tell them, you're welcome, but it's not from us. It's from the area churches, and they're often surprised to find out that in their situation, rather than judgment, the churches want to show them love and want to help them out. If you happen to be cleaning out some things while you're locked into your house, or you know anyone that's cleaning and organizing, we do have some needs at Heartbeat right now for jackets and sweaters for boys and girls, 3T. Lots of stuff for boys we need, from 3T to 5T, just anything for boys. Once they get to be toddlers, they're rough on their clothes, and so we don't have as many of those. Boy coats from 18 months to 5Ts, and sleepers and pajamas, like 3T to 5T. We only go up to size 5 because that's what we can handle in our storage area. So after that, there are some options for where they can get clothes for older kids, but those little boys from 3 to 5, if you happen to have anything around, or if you know anybody that is venturing out, we could definitely use those. So thank you for all that you've done, and thank you for letting me be with you this morning. God bless.